Hello, hello. This is Pozgus FM, a podcast about Pozgus. Hi, Michael. Sorry for Mike last time.
That's all right, Nick. I don't even notice normally.
Right. Well, Nick is fine. So, episode number almost 90. I don't remember exactly. Like, do you remember? You always remember.
I remember, but you told me not to remind you anymore until we get to a milestone. And you're the only one that ever brings up the episode number.
Really?
I never mention it in it, yeah.
Okay, interesting. So we are going to talk about what?
Oh, yeah, so this week was your suggestion, and it's a cool one. It's going to be a new feature in Postgres 17, hopefully. It's committed, but you never know for sure. And it's transaction timeout, a new parameter that we'll have, hopefully, in the next version.
Mm-hmm. I can show off. It was my idea. But the most of the work Andrei Borodin did. So it started during our Postgres TV hacking Postgres session.
And which are back now, right? After a long pause.
Well, yes, we'll try. Nobody knows. Like it's hard to arrange usually because to do proper hacking, you need a lot of time. Last time we indeed restarted, we talked about this transaction timeout and Andrei tried to write tests. Because former tests needed to be removed. By the way, I also wanted to say thanks to Alexander Korotkov, who committed this patch. Honestly, I even didn't ask. So it was good to see that it's committed. And so session finished after 90 minutes by timeout, because we needed to go. Session about timeout finished by... Okay, now you're smiling. Okay. So transaction timeout, and it took a few years for me to understand something is wrong, don't have something. And then last year, like a year ago maybe, I started thinking, it should be. And my idea was like, maybe I'm very wrong or I'm very right. So it's so strange in 2023 to think about this basic setting. But honestly, last few years, I already suggested everyone to consider transaction timeout to be applied on application. And in 100% of cases, I saw like very strange look if it was video meeting, right? It was like very strange look, like Postgres cannot do it. Yes, Postgres cannot do transaction timeout, but you do need it, and we can discuss why. So I always suggest you do it always on application side if you have OLTP. Because, you know, like, anyway, HTTP has timeout. Server, for example, Nginx, like 30 seconds, it's normal, right? Nobody will wait many minutes, unless it's a specific request. Sometimes we can wait a few minutes, but usually we have a limit. And Postgres doesn't have this transaction timeout. It has only statement timeout and idle transaction session timeout, but no transaction timeout.
Well, and also... So I looked into when we got each of these, and statement timeout was ages ago, like 7.3, would you believe? And then idle in transaction session timeout was actually more recent than I realized. It's 9.6, which is probably only about 7 or 8 years ago. And then we also got more recently idle session timeout.
Which is different. It's outside of normal work. Like it's for like let's drop connection if it doesn't do anything.
But yeah, but that was a recent like version 14 edition. So still only a couple of years ago.
You want to say that it's also very very basic thing and only added recently. Yeah, I agree with that. Usually people implemented it outside Postgres as well, so, to drop connections.
I've seen less need for that one than I have seen for this one. But like you, it's one of those things that I kind of didn't realize I needed because statement timeout can cover a lot of a lot of the use cases can be just about coped with via statement timeout, but one or two really can't. And I think I saw your post and I'll link it up, the mailing list thread that I think Andre started, but your first reply to that included some really good examples of when you do need this in addition to statement timeout or like instead of statement timeout. So is it worth like covering a couple of those? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's discuss why we use statement timeout in OLTP, like irregular, the most common cases like web and mobile apps. We had an episode about that. And I think it was the very first episode maybe. Speaking of counting,
Yeah, we've done a few other episodes related to this as well. We did one on connections, one on zero downtime migrations.
No, I'm talking about the very first episode. What was it?
Yeah, slow queries.
Slow queries, yes. And this is about statement amount, basically. But people don't do SQL queries. I mean, end users, web and mobile app users, they don't do SQL queries, right? So they work at higher level, HTTP requests. So why do we need statement amount at all? Why? Like, what the problem we solving? I have this honest question because, in my opinion, when we think what we try to solve with statement amount, it's not the right tool, usually. For example, again, like users work at high level, and we know some intermediate software settings, middleware, which is usually written in some like Python, Java, Ruby, anything. These application servers and also HTTP server, like maybe front-end server, like an Nginx or something, Envoy, right? They usually have some limits to drop a connection which lasts too long if server is taking too long to respond, like or like communications taking too long, usually like 30 or 60 seconds. And this is what users will get if something which should take 100 milliseconds or less takes 30 seconds. It's time to admit it's a problem. There is a problem and tell user that like for 502 gateway timeout. It's usually like Nginx what's returning. And then we back to database. We think, okay, we need to limit as well. But what exactly we need to limit? This is a question. So well, is statement amount right tool for that?
I do think there's a lot of cases where it's enough. So if, for example, we're trying to, in that case, let's say, for example, the users or like the app has already given up, but the database carries on working.
Yeah, that's
doing pointless, kind of that's pointless work. So avoiding pointless work would be great. But there's other cases too, where even if the app didn't have a timeout, is it okay for a few users of a system to be using all the resources when, you know, like hogging those resources by running some really, really slow or really, really heavy queries? Is that an acceptable trade-off or do you want to limit that? So I think there are other like slightly different cases.
Right, but work is not, statements is too small. It's too atomic piece, right, to limit.
Well, and before we move on to like why transaction timeout, there's also one other case which I think, or maybe this makes the point perfectly. These long-running transactions, even if they're a single statement transaction, they can block like internal processes like vacuum and cause issues that we've spent multiple episodes talking about the kind of issues that long-running statements could cause. Never mind long-running multi-statement transactions.
Not statements block it. Transactions.
But as you've said multiple times, you can't have a statement without a transaction. So a long-running statement is enough, but you're right that...
You can have statement without transactions. For example, create index concurrently, three transactions. I mean... without transaction completely, no dirty reads.
Exactly.
Right. So yeah, but we want to... To apply the right tool, it means that it should suit for all edge and corner cases, right? But and I'm saying statement timeout is like for different hole to close, you know.
You gave a really great example that completely sold me in that email thread I mentioned.
An email. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that was a case I've seen actually quite recently, which was
ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Yeah, I call it. It's like from machine gun.
Yeah,
statements coming from machine gun, brief statements with brief pause,
and and somebody setting a transaction at the beginning. So in the case I saw, it was deliberately taking out doing begin, then doing multiple updates or like upsets in this case, and then only at the end committing it. And so any one of those statements was really short, but because they were doing tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands, I think in this case, the transaction as a whole was longer than you'd probably want on an OLTP system. Right. So in that case, statement timeout wouldn't have helped, or at least any sane statement timeout wouldn't have canceled that. But a transaction timeout.
And transaction session timeout wouldn't cancel this transaction.
Exactly.
Because the breaks are also short.
It's not idle. Exactly.
It's like from machine gun. It can be select plus one, by the way, if it's wrapped to a transaction block. Select plus one, this anti-pattern, which...
like n plus one.
It's actually a terrible name, but the idea is that it's n selects in a loop. So mm-hmm. And we didn't notice that they have a loop. And it can be short updates with the idea that we want to make them short because it's better, you know, like to. But if it's wrapped into transaction, you cannot release any locks until the very end of transaction. This is the rule. All locks released only if it's commit or rollback. That's it. And so it's a bad idea to split to batches, updates or deletes. Or insert is almost never, like, I think, to it matters, like, it makes sense to split. Insert should be single massive insert, right? Usually, like copy or insert. But if it's updates and deletes, like, people know there is a rule to split, then they put it into a single transaction and, like, what's happening here? But what do we do? Like, we're accumulating a lot of locks and not releasing them, right? So there are only two reasons, the big reasons I see. Well, resource utilization, one reason, but there are two problems which are very bright. And they scream, let's have transaction timeout. And they did it for many years. And like I always say, okay, this is the problem we must solve on application side. We cannot do it in Postgres at all. Surprise. Well, we can use pgcron and put maybe some, I call it terminator snippet, working with pgset activity, checking exact start, like transaction start timestamp, and then killing, terminating. So terminator script. This name is derived from pgterminate backend, right? Backend terminate. No. Or, yeah, so was it renamed or no? I don't remember. Backup start backup was renamed. It's about naming, and I support it. I'm having three in my speech. Sorry. So, start backup was renamed to PG backup start. So the same should happen with backend terminate. I think should be now terminate backend should be backend terminate. So this terminate script is also like a workaround. It should be some simple solution. Let's not allow two long running transactions. Because we keep locks, this is the problem number one we just discussed. And second problem you mentioned, keeping xmin horizon frozen, basically, not shifting, which means that xmin horizon is the hidden xmin value of a tuple, which is the oldest in the system. And we usually cannot, auto-vacuum usually comes and delete this as a dead tuple, we delete it, but we cannot delete it if there is some transaction which still can read from this, because xmin is like current time, not past, not the past for this transaction, which means that if we keep our transaction, we block this xmin frozen, and that means that autovacuum cannot delete dead tuples, more and more of them, freshly dead tuples, I call them, or maybe it can be improved, this naming. So these two problems, locks and xmin horizon frozen. Locks are not released, and they both can hit, and a lot of people can notice, and you can even be down, server can be down in some cases. And you cannot limit it, including in Postgres 16. I was so happy to realize I'm not mad. Indeed, it's obvious, and I think it was discussed maybe, so should be discussed many times, but we just went ahead, many thanks to Andrei, just went ahead and coded it. Then many strange cases started to appear, for example, sub-transactions or conflict with statement on timeout, which should fire first, for example. So
that's a good point. Do you want to talk at all about in this future, like once Postgres 17 is out, if you're designing a new OLTP system, are you even using, like, do you normally use global statement timeouts? And if you did in the past, would you now replace that, or would you use both with different settings? How would you do it?
Yeah, good question. So first of all, in documentation, we can read that setting statement timeout globally is not a good idea. And I think it's a very bad idea to write this in the documentation because we discussed, even HTTP server, application server, they have their own timeouts. Database is usually the most like data intensive work is usually in database, unless we talk about some other stuff happening now outside of web and mobile apps, right? I mean, AI stuff like in GPU and so on. So we want to limit in OLTP case, we definitely want to limit our work 30 seconds maybe. It's a good limit. This article and this our very first episode, it's about basics, which are so like 30 years, since the, like 40 years, since the beginning of internet. Maybe. People don't like to wait more than a second in normal case. It means that we do want to limit globally and be protected. Only specific users which need it always can change it, right? unless it's restricted. So you just set statement timeout to anything and go. Of course, if DDL is needed to be executed, for example, create index concurrently, of course, you also should remove this limit. But global setting is protection. It should be there for OLTP case, and Postgres is like, it's OLTP is the main case. We don't usually think about analytical queries. So it means that I always recommend setting this, and documentation is having bad advice in this case, right? So 30 seconds, my recommendation. Sometimes 15 is better.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, even 10 maybe. It depends. It raises the bar requirement for queries. That this is about quality, actually. So if your query is poorly designed or you forgot to create proper index, something like bad plan, be killed. But now with transaction timeout, I would say statement timeout might be not needed at all.
Interesting. I wondered if you were going to say that.
So again, like my logic is applied at higher level. Mm-hmm. This is about HTTP. If you go down, both cases, database-specific, Postgres-specific cases I mentioned, they also apply to a transaction level at higher level. We don't care about statement and breaks between statements.
And do you think like same order of magnitude? Like you mentioned 30, I've seen 60 seconds quite often mentioned as a sensible default, so 30 seconds not too different. Would you go similar, like for any reason to double it or like increase it, like add a little bit of buffer there or just
no.
Similar number?
Why buffer? Set it to 30, resolve all problems and then consider going even down. And if we talk about statement amount, why at all, like we need it, like, okay, we put it, but what? If we have transaction timeout 30 seconds, for example, which statement timeout would I use? 30 seconds maybe as well. But it's already solved. I mean,
I don't think there's any, that wouldn't make sense to me, but I was wondering if you might say, you know, statement timeout 30 seconds, transaction timeout 60 seconds, and...
Transaction session timeout 60 seconds when transaction timeout... What session timeout you mean?
We talk transaction. About so I'm talking like transactions can consist of multiple statements, right?
Right.
So there's no need to have a statement timeout that is bigger or equal to the transaction
yes,
timeout.
Yes, it does make sense.
So the only thing that could make sense would be a statement timeout that's less than the transaction timeout.
Right.
But it seems pretty neat. Yeah.
But again, like if you take transaction timeout, which already quite good, restrictive, 30 or 60 seconds,
yeah.
Then I think statement timeout, and I don't see logic to go down with it.
Cool.
Okay, it's about resources. If you go down, maybe resources, like you save some resources killing some statement earlier than it reaches transaction timeout. Okay, but it's not the main reason to have transaction timeout for me. Well, of course, maybe not. Maybe actually I just forgot. Maybe it's actually super, super important reason, right? Maybe I just forgot that we use it. Okay, I don't know. I saw so many incidents where even statement amount was not achieved, but resources were spent fully. So I don't know. I mean, we have two very restrictive statement amount, very, very low. And still CPU 100% and everything is down because a lot of work is happening. So statement amount doesn't protect you, even like 15 or so. I mean, to start protecting, maybe I would like to have it 1 second. In this case, I think it will start protecting.
So. Interesting.
But 30 seconds too high.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, right? Because... Yeah, I think there's a growing, and I know you mentioned analytical isn't our primary case, but there's a growing trend that I'm seeing of kind of hybrid. I've heard it called HTAP databases, where people don't want to spin up a second analytical like warehouse or something, and they're trying to run some like small analytical queries on them, like OLTP database, which means you do get these kind of the odd several second query or at least hundreds of milliseconds running on the same database. So I can see how it could get tricky for some folks. But I think the 30 seconds and the higher feels like a sane starting point, as you mentioned. And if you start to see some errors from those, look into them. And if you don't, look into what your slowest queries are and whether you can reduce it.
In case of HTAP, I will just have another database user specifically for long running queries. I will adjust it, this setting, maybe setting to a couple for maybe 5 minutes and allowing it to last longer. That's it.
Yeah, that's a good point that I don't know if we mentioned yet, that these can be set at the role level, at a session level, and globally.
Well, I never tried, but statement timeout definitely can be set at user level. I think transaction timeout should work as well. Worth checking, by the way.
I thought the doc said that, but I was checking the, because this is the development doc.
Maybe even it should be tests, maybe. Maybe it's, so I'm quite sure it should work, yeah. So yeah. Anyway, even if we talk about statement amount right now, we don't have transaction amount until 17. So statement amount can be set for different users differently. And I also had a case when people had very low global statement amount, but then adjusted for people, human connections. They adjusted it to set to zero.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I feel it's dangerous. It's like someone can just run something, then drink some coffee, and then go for some call, and like it's kind of dangerous.
By the way, I've got bad news for you.
What?
The warning seems to have been copied over to transaction timeout documentation as well. And it says in the docs, in the new docs, setting transaction timeout in PostgreSQL.conf is not recommended because it would affect all sessions.
Yeah, actually, it's a good point. I need to raise this again. I don't agree with this. It's a bad, very bad statement.
There's also one other note in here that I had forgotten. I guess it's only a minor note, but prepared transactions are not subject to this timeout. Thought worth mentioning.
Yeah, it's so. So, yeah.
Is there anything else? Like, I guess the story for how this came about is pretty interesting. The thread seems quite long, like to me at least.
As usual, a lot of unpredicted problems, and then like people seem to agree, and then I think, okay, not for 17, but it was a good surprise last week, right, or a couple of weeks ago.
So, yeah.
I just wanted to say, if our world survives, right? Yeah. For folks who are listening to this in 2025 or later, just start thinking about limiting a transaction level first and then go down. This is the main like advice. But for others, limit it at application side and the limit statement timeout and idle transaction session timeout, because both is good to have limited to below a minute, maybe at least 1 minute.
Yeah.
I also saw people are afraid of making idle transaction session timeout low. I don't understand this. Put it very low, very low. Like if someone is not doing anything, bye-bye. Okay, maybe for humans you can limit it to 1 or 2 minutes, but still, you're probably holding some very important exclusive logs and blocking someone. It's not a good idea. So either commit or do something already, right?
Yeah, the default is no limit, like absolutely no limit at all. So any, yeah, even if you are concerned, what would it like? What would several hour limit look like, or several day? Like, even that's going to be better than none at all. So yeah, I like that advice to for people to be checking. Do you even have any of these limits set? Because the default is not to, and even on a lot of cloud providers, they don't set.
Nginx, if you work at on web or mobile apps, Nginx, for example, has default proxy timeout limit as 60 seconds. This is a good starting point to think about it. And if database 99% of your database work is to serve HTTP queries, at least like 60, it should be there. And nice. Go down to details. Also, one more thing. Maybe some folks will be inspired. I'm not a good drawer of some pictures, but imagine if we had a schema in documentation showing the relationships between statement and breaks between statement and some big transaction and timeouts will be visualized. So for better understanding, like, this is transaction timeout, between them there are multiple statements, they are also limited and breaks are limited. And also outside we have session timeout, right? So idle
both.
Session
timeout. We have both.
Ooh. No, session timeout, what is it? I mean,
we have idle in transaction session timeout and we have idle session timeout.
Idle session timeout. This is what, like, it's outside transaction also we have limited. So all periods of workflow are covered now, and to visualize this would be a great idea. Put it, documentation already has a couple of pictures. It would be a good picture to have.
I think you'd be in the first 10 still, though, if you got this one in.
Right, exactly. So maybe someone will be inspired. Good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Nikolai. Catch you next week.
Bye.